Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. We appreciate so much the kind comments that we're receiving and encouragement from various people in different locations. Some are listening to the program live regularly, and we appreciate this. Others are going to the website, markjward.com, and clicking on the Antique Radio or tapping on it if you have a phone or a tablet device where you just tap on something. And it'll take you over to all the episodes that we have. And sometimes the night before an episode is to air, since they're pre-recorded, I go ahead and make the link active for those episodes for the upcoming day. So if you want to get over there and get a preview, if you're not able to hear the program in its entirety, whatever the case may be, we encourage you to study God's Word. We have in the past talked about some Old Testament examples, some good and some bad, in the lives of various men. We plan the same type of series for the future, both in the Old and New Testaments, for the rest of the men series, if you will, and for the ladies. I'm studying that particular and want to do an extremely good job on those upcoming episodes. So this week we're going to take a diversion in one way, but stay right on track in another, and that is we're going to continue the theme of pleasing God. And hopefully, if you're a regular listener by now, we're trying to emphasize passages like our theme passage, or the passage that was part of the impetus for naming the program Pleasing God, Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We want to emphasize that if we are working to please God, if we are living to please God, substitute the verb of your choice here. If we are aiming to please God, if we are endeavoring to please God, then our life will consist of that which is governed by His Word, applicable to us today. There are things in the Bible that are not applicable to us today. Old Testament commands to not eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden was given to Adam and Eve. There are great lessons to be learned by the example of those Old Testament Bible individuals. However, we don't live in the Garden of Eden. We're not in the days of Noah with the command that he received to build an ark to the saving of his house. But there's such a wonderful, wonderful group of lessons that we would have in how to the saving of himself and then his household. Noah pleased God. Not in everything. He's human like you and I. And that's why it's so encouraging to look to these examples of opportunities that people in the Bible had to please God. Some failed miserably. Some would repent. And that's what God wants us to do when we make mistakes, is to reform. Repentance is defined as a change of heart, that is a change of mind that results in a change of action. So, let him that stole steal no more. Let those that are doing wickedness stop doing wickedness. We are free moral agents, and we have the right to choose every time. No one's forcing us to do anything. Even if someone holds a gun to our head and asks us to curse God or die, we have a choice. I hope none of us studying and listening together have to ever make that choice. But I believe those who are Bible believers and understand the Word of God know what the proper choice is on even that type of temptation to do wrong. You know, the people in the days of Jesus had an opportunity to please God. When Jesus walked by Peter and Andrew, James and John, who were fishermen, and he said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." There was a choice. God did not mandate. God did not use them as puppets. They were not robots already pre-programmed that they had to do it. They had a free will choice. And on that occasion, they took the choice that was marked, if you want to call it, two doors. One is not pleasing God on the left, and the other door to walk through is pleasing God. And if we think about that when we enter into decisions that we have to make, whether it's what to do about children that need to be disciplined and encouraged to do what is right when they're doing wrong, there's a door. And that door is called not pleasing God. And then there's another door for parents, and it's called pleasing God. And we need to take prayerful consideration of the individuality of different types of people, including our children, because they do not all respond to the same types of discipline. So it is with us who are adults. We need to try to understand this spiritual battle, this spiritual warfare that's going on. There were others who came in contact with Jesus Christ in his teaching during his ministry that became followers of Jesus. They were making the right choice. Some, though, in the days of Jesus feeding the two large crowds with loaves and fishes, followed for the wrong reason. That is, their heart was wrong, their action was right. And that's another great lesson, is that just because someone is doing the outward form doesn't mean that their heart is right. Paul in the New Testament mentioned that there were some that were preaching the gospel of Christ as hirelings. Just like Jesus used the example in early books of the New Testament about those who were shepherds that were hirelings. Oh, they do it for the money. And they may even preach the truth of the gospel and may eat and take care of the sheep and make sure that they get on the vegetation that they need. But when trouble comes, when the wolf comes, or when the bear comes, or when the lion comes, the hireling flees. And so it is with those who preach the gospel of our Lord and Jesus Christ that might even teach the truth on every Bible subject. But when trouble comes, if they're preaching for the money, they flee. Now, we don't want to be of that sort. We do not want to be of that type. But even those who do that can reform, can repent. While there is life, there is the opportunity to still repent and come back and please God. You see, once we go through these doors of pleasing God or not pleasing God, we can make things right, make amends with God. Sometimes there are eternal consequences that we never can fix. If you kill someone, you can't unkill them. You can be forgiven. You may have to spend the rest of your life in prison or go to the electric chair or some other means of death penalty. But in the same vein, what is more important? To just give up? Oh, I did something wrong. I can't get that back. I can't ever bring that person back to life. Therefore, I'll just be a sinner the rest of my life. God would never want me. God calls all men everywhere to repentance. Jesus said, "They that are whole don't need a physician." The physician, the great physician, is here for the sick of the world. Just like a doctor is here for those that are physically sick, Jesus came and lived his life and died on the cross for the sins of the world, leaving the plan that we have in the pages of the new covenant for us to live by, to please God. Is this a life of sinless perfection that God expects of us? No. Is it our goal to do right all the time and not sin? Should be. That's what is involved in pleasing God, isn't it? And as local congregations, in addition to how individuals are to relate in the world and live in the world, when individuals band together and form local congregations, there needs to be that same type of reverence toward God. And the pollution that we see and the error that we see that continues to be propagated in local congregations, in their teaching and in their practice, is to be abhorred. It needs to be corrected. We've looked at Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and there were churches of Christ that existed during that time when John was writing the book, the final book of the New Covenant, I believe, the book of Revelation. And if you'll look in red letter editions, you'll see Jesus was doing some of the talking, and John was recording it by inspiration. All these things are given to us. We need to listen to everything Jesus said and everything that the apostles said, because they were inspired of God, and what they wrote and what we have is not the mere words of men and uninspired people, but rather all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all the things that are mentioned in the New Covenant, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete or perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And that's what Hebrews 13 and verses 20 and 21 advocate, teach, instruct, inform. What about those people who rejected Christ? Not just the followers, not just the apostles who were followers, but then we get to some who were the antagonist. Those that didn't want Jesus of Nazareth to be successful in his mission of seeking and saving the lost. Those that might stand to lose their position in the synagogue as the Old Testament form of worship was going to be in transition and go to the New Testament form of worship after the ushering in of the Acts 2 Pentecost that we read. There were people that were curious, there were people that were followers, and those that were staunch, rebellious people who would not please God, who would do things even up to and including commit the sin of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We can talk about that maybe at a later date, but on the surface, just know that someone has to be very, very evil to commit that sin, to try to damn the souls of other people. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, we have a staunch example of rebuke by Jesus. And while he was tender on some occasions as the great master teacher in our example, there were other occasions when he was tough but did no sin. We're going to look at Matthew 23 tomorrow in our next lesson, Lord willing. We'll be continuing the theme of people in the New Testament who had opportunities to please God. And what did they do? What did they do if they found out they had not pleased God after they had committed some error that they didn't even know was an error at the time? Lord willing, we'll be talking about these and other things this week as we consider our theme overall in this program entitled Pleasing God. Would you tell others about the program? We hope you will. Will you be a regular listener? If you can't listen because of work or other interruptions, could you go to the website and check in with us through the question area, if you will? We look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. We bid you a pleasant good day.